part three of and this will be what we did last week, and then we'll talk about brushing teeth tonight with that toothpaste, etc. As far as memachik, we learned last week that soap, the Rama says that borit, that's called zayif, which we understand to be the old-fashioned kind of soap, that's going to be a problem of memachik. And we also saw that oil, are you allowed to shmir oil? You're not allowed to rub ointment, but oil is definitely fine as long as it's not done for medicinal reasons. So if there's no medicinal issue, like your lips are not yet chapped, then you can definitely put oil on your lips. But if you're going to put oil on your lips once they're chapped, that might be an issue that we talked about last week. That brought us to liquid soaps, which are, on one hand, should we say liquid soap, it's not medicinal. Even if you call it antibacterial, it's not something that only, you know, or typically sick people use. But liquid soap, is it going to be like oil, and therefore you could smush it all over your body? Or is it going to be like soap, which is going to be a problem of memachek? So we saw a Gemara that talked about oil being used, it must be very thick oil, to plug up a hole in the barrel. And there the Gemara said that it's only a problem that you might come to do it with wax. Well, if there's an independent problem with oil that's usher independently, then why do you have to worry that you might come to do the same thing with wax? It sounds like using oil itself would be okay. It's only that if you use it with wax, it's going to be a problem. So therefore, there were those who permitted thick, very viscous, thick oil, even oil that's thick enough that could plug up a hole, which soft soap is certainly not that thick, unless it's like really, you know, clogged up. You know, sometimes you have soft soap that you don't push down the pusher. What do you call that? The dispenser thing on top? The top of the dispenser. Pump, thank you. If you don't pump it for a long time, it sort of dries up. That's the kind of thick, viscous soap that might be able to plug up a hole of a barrel, maybe. And even there, the problem is only that it might be coming to do the same thing with wax, but it doesn't sound like it's a problem in and of itself. And therefore, many posts can permit liquid soap. We did say that there is a chumrah of Rav Moshe Feinstein not to use liquid soap, and even there, we realized that we could sort of get out of the problem just by diluting it. Not necessarily by diluting our soft soap or our detergent before Shabbos, but even if you just put some soap on your hand, while it's thick and viscous, so most of us would permit you to lather it right away, but even according to Rav Moshe, says you can't until it's diluted. Well, put the thick soap on your hand, the soft soap on your hand, pour the dishwasher detergent on the pot, and instead of rubbing immediately, which most people don't really do, let the water go on it. The water that goes on the thick soft soap or on the detergent is going to anyway dilute it, and once it's diluted, you're going to rub. It's going to be rubbing a diluted liquid, and you'll be fine even according to Rav Moshe. That was the kula that we suggested at the very end of last week. Just to finish off last week, we talked about shoe polish. The poskim say that a person, besides the issue of tzaveya, of coloring, is also the issue of memarech, because there you do want to smooth the polish or the wax onto the side of your shoe. I'll share with you a scam that I was once scammed. Any of you live in Teaneck? So the Newbridge Farmers Market, you're familiar with, I'm sure. So I was in that parking lot in the Newbridge Farmers Market with a car. We just got a new car recently. Before that, we had a car that had some big dents in it. So two fellows come up and said, you want me to, you know, for $40, we'll fix that dent on the side of your car. And for $100, we'll do all the dents. I said, well, I figured I'd give it a try, see what happens. They took out some tools and began using sort of, it looks like a plunger for your toilet, but it's made for the wall of a car to sort of apply air pressure, pull out the dents of the car if it ever happened to you. And then afterwards, he put on this wax and to make it shiny, and he said, don't touch. Once I realized that he said, don't touch because it will burn you, I realized it was a scam because wax doesn't burn your fingers. Turtle wax that you use to polish a car. And anyway, so he applied the wax, and the wax would hopefully cover up the whatever part of the dent there was. And after that, I washed off the wax, which itself was a little bit of a pain. I realized that nothing had changed with the dent, and I lost $40. So if two people come over to you, next time you go buy your mother some fruits and vegetables, don't take them up on it. So that would be a case with, that's the same kind of situation of wax, that you, there you do want to smear it on and smooth it on. That would be a problem, just like your shoes. That was less. Now, in general, I know our topic is cosmetics, and there is one thing that I do want to mention in passing, even though it's not going to be related to Memache. In the context of cosmetics, and we're going to talk more about specific cosmetic issues next week. This week we're going to focus on toothbrushing in a moment, but there is something called permanent makeup. Permanent makeup, again, maybe you all know this, but for me, I guess it's somewhat new. Permanent makeup is not makeup, it's tattooing. You can get tattoo of your ex-boyfriend's name on your arm. You could get tattooed with all kinds of other pictures, or you could get tattooed a different colored line or facial coloring on your lips or your eyebrows or wherever else. That's nothing more than a more expensive tattoo. Okay, so permanent makeup is not anything to do with halachas of makeup. It's an issa d'oraisa of ksoves ka'aka, which is issa d'oraisa of getting a tattoo. And just because it's done in fancier salons, not done, what is it like, right near like Union Square? Some of you work downtown, not downtown, but like Union Square area, the village area. So just because it's not done in the village, it doesn't mean it's not a tattooing. Permanent makeup would be an issa d'oraisa of ksoves ka'aka. So putting that aside, now we could just come back to our show. Yeah.
Sure. Really quick question. What's the difference between Memachek and Memareach? It's the same
thing. Excellent question. The difference between Memachek and Memareach, the Isser, the Av, is Memachek, which is smoothing off the hides of skin. The Tolda of that, the Gemara tells us, is smoothing out other things like ointments and salves and creams. So it's a Tolda of the Av of Memachek, and Toldas, we know, are also Derais as well. It's not Rabbanu Daraisa, they're both Daraisa. Okay, let's talk about toothbrushing. If you do want to see a very beautifully written, easy to read, very accessible article, those of you from Five Towns know about Ari Leibowitz from the Beis Knesset in North Woodmere, fabulous, wonderful speaker. He has his 10-minute Torah bits on Wayu Torah. So he had, I just happened to find, a 19-page article, easy reading, about all the issues and all the shittos about toothbrushing. You'll probably find a lot of what I'm going to say there, although I didn't use his article, but it just goes to the same points. I primarily got what I'm about to share with you from an amalgamation of numerous poskim, especially Rav Avadia Yosef. Now, Rav Avadia Yosef has 4 tshuvos on toothbrushing. But in reality, as I realized after spending about 4 or 5 hours going through his 4 tshuvos, it's 1 tshuva, and I realized it's just too big to leave in 1 tshuva, so I just cut it into 4. So it's about, I didn't see it inside, but on my computer screen it was about, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 screens worth of small print, just about toothbrushing. Just shows, it's not that there are so many hundreds of sermon who discussed it, but Rav Avadia Yosef, it just shows what he was able to do. Let's talk about the issues and the shittos, and we will end, hopefully, with halacha maisa, but let's get there first. When it comes to toothbrushing, we could identify probably, if not 4, probably 5, 6, and maybe even more than 6, specific issues, potentially d'oraisa, or maybe not d'oraisa, but different malachas that might be involved in toothbrushing. Excuse me. So, let's begin with what we're really talking about, which is memareach. Now, the reason why we would assume that toothbrushing is memareach is because what's memareach? Memareach. You take a cream or an ointment and you rub it onto something. You smooth it onto something. So if that's the case, if you take toothpaste, again, we'll talk about brushing separately and toothbrushes separately and water separately, but in terms of the toothpaste itself, it's a cream, like an ointment. It even comes in a tube. You squeeze out a tube. We said there's no issue with squeezing things out of tubes. That's not an issue. But now I'm going to smooth it all across my teeth. And that presumably should be no different than taking any other cream, bacitracin, hand cream, eucerin, and rubbing it along, you know, my skin, my hands, to make my skin soft. What's the difference between making my skin soft with eucerin and making my teeth shine with Colgate? Maybe there isn't any difference. Well, let's try to look at one case that's discussed in terms of mimareach that might give us some insight into toothpaste specifically. The Shulchan Aruch talks parenthetically about mimareach. It talks about the following. Again, I don't want to get gory and get too explicit. Let's say we live in a time when there are dirt floors. And what happened when you get a little stuff in your throat? You turn to the person on your left, you say, excuse me. You turn to the right, you spit on the floor, you take your shoe, and you sort of smush it into the ground. We all know that? Right. You would never do that, but guys do that. Right? Okay. So, hopefully not when you're with them. That's a different issue. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch says that it's not okay to do that on Shabbos. On Shabbos, it's not okay to rub with your foot the spittle into the ground, because what are you doing? Because you are flattening the ground. You're being Meshava Gumos, which is a problem of, you're just like flattening ground, which is like related to digging, etc. But if you just want to sort of stomp on it, so just go straight down and not interested in smoothing anything out, that's going to be okay. Even though what's going to end up happening, even though naturally a psik resha is going to be that the spittle is going to get sort of smoothed out, that's going to be mutter. Why is it going to be mutter? You're taking spittle, I don't want to get too graphic, but taking mucus, and you're smoothing it, maybe not on your hands on purpose, but you're certainly causing it effectively, even if it's not direct. The psik resha is also aser. Psik resha could be aser daraisa. There's at least a psik resha that the spittle is being smoothed into the ground. Says the Magen Avraham, one of the commentators in the 1600s, Avraham Gombiner, I think, on the side of Shulchan Aruch, says, you know why there's no problem smoothing out of Mimareach? Because Mimareach is only a problem when you smooth such that you want it on the surface. But when you smooth that spittle, do you smooth it onto the ground or into the ground? Into the ground. You don't want it there. Just the opposite. You want it to be gotten rid of. That's not going to be Mimareach. Now you should know that based on what I just told you, there are some people who suggest, this is not halach l'maisa, this is just in the pure realm of theoretics, that suggest that when you take Eucerin hand cream, your intent is not to smooth it so that it is a nice, even, coating of cream on your hand. What's the purpose of putting that hand cream in? To rub it, or if you have vitamin E cream, to rub it till it gets swallowed up into your arm, into your skin. Well, according to this logic, the Magen Avraham that we just spoke out, that might be mutter, because Mimareach is only when you want there to be a nice even layer on the top of the surface, but if you want to get it in to the ground, or perhaps somebody might suggest into the hand, that might be okay. We don't paskin like that. I'm just telling you theoretically where this logic could lead. We don't paskin that Eucerin is okay, that hand cream or vitamin E cream is okay. It's not okay, even though you're smoothing it into your skin. There are some who use this logic to suggest maybe it should be, but we don't permit it. Halakha maisa. Let's think now, as far as Mimareach, on your teeth. When I put Colgate onto my teeth, what's my goal? That within the next 3 minutes, I want to have green teeth, perfectly smooth green teeth, so that everything is neatly polished at an equal, smooth application of green Colgate. Is that my goal?
Okay.
No, it is not. I mean, I don't know why they do it in Los Angeles. In New York, it's not.
No, I'm saying there's two goals to toothpaste. There's one that's an abrasive to get rid of.
That's what happens when you have a girl who went to dental school this year. You try to talk dentistry and then, yes, go
ahead. And the other is to get fluoride all over your teeth. An even layer of fluoride. I don't know if it's an even layer, but you're trying to get a layer of fluoride on your teeth.
So Leva is suggesting, based on her time spent in dental school, that part of the goal of Colgate is not just to spit it out afterwards, but it's also that before you spit it out, there should be a layer of fluoride on your teeth, and you do want that layer to stay there. That's what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that's an important question. So let me share with you a conversation that happened about 30 years ago. Maybe it was 40, maybe it was 50, but I think it was probably about 40. And I'll tell you what happened. The Salvation Week is giving shiur down the block, in First Hall. The It's one block away from where we are. And he mentioned in Shir that he heard or he saw that Rav Moshe Feinstein says that you can't use toothpaste on Shabbos because toothpaste is mevarach. You're taking a cream, an ointment, and you're smoothing it out. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in Igros Moshe. And Soloveitchik said, I don't understand. You don't want to smooth the stuff onto your teeth. The hat could be mevarach. Or no, maybe he said something else. I think he said something like, what's, Soloveitchik said, when we talk about, let's think about memachik. What was memachik, at least in the Beis HaMikdash? In the Mishkan, I mean. If you remember from 2 or 3 weeks ago, we talked about, I have a hide, and it has these hairs coming out. I want a smooth leather, I want a baseball mitt, I want a leather jacket, I want a leather pocketbook, I don't want a hair stick. Would you buy it if there were hairs sticking out of that? Definitely not. So we're going to smooth all those bumps and lumps and we'll smooth all those things out. That's memachik midoraisa. Okay, then we talked about the application. If you remember, the Shach Bein HaKlon says different explanations. One was that you have a column and a column, and between the column there's like a window or a window space, and there's like a place to sit on the bottom. You want to smooth out, sand down that area between the two columns so you can sit and have a smooth seat to sit in. Rub down that concrete, all those little, not bumps, the abrasive surface, it'll be nice and smooth. Well, if that's what Machik is said of Soloveitchik, then what would happen if I did that on my teeth? I'd be smoothing out whatever bumps might be in my teeth. If you brush your teeth long enough, you're going to end up without teeth. So why did the dentist tell me I should brush my teeth? If you can tell me that there's Mamachik is smoothing out and rubbing it down, sanding something down. Well, if that's what toothpaste does instead of Soloveitchik, you're going to end up without any teeth. So how could Rav Moshe Feinstein say that it's Mamachik, that you're sort of rubbing, smoothing things out? If that's what you're doing to your teeth, you're going to root. You're going to end up with nothing the more you brush. And dentists and Liba tells us that I'm supposed to brush. So one of the people in the Shir, a very famous person, Rav Michal and Moshe Sherkin, wrote a number of Svarim based on the Rav's Torah, said, no, Rebbe, that's not what Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote. Rav Moshe Feinstein meant that you form, it's memareach, because you form some kind of invisible coating on the teeth, and that smooth coating, that application that you want to put on the teeth, your goal is not to rub off, it's not memachik like memachik that we just described of sanding off the abrasive surface of a hide or of a cement floor so it's a nice smooth place to sit, or to sand something down so it'll be a nice smooth wood. We're talking about smoothing the toothpaste on so that there's some kind of invisible layer of protection that the toothpaste affords. I guess Rav Michal Sherkin also studied at NYU Dental School. Right? I guess maybe not. I guess he... that's what you're suggesting. But therefore, perhaps there could be an invisible layer of application of fluoride that you do want to stay even after you finish brushing your teeth. Is that... Am I getting the science?
That's part of it.
So, I guess the fact that it would be invisible would mean, I assume the fluoride coating is invisible, at least to the naked eye. To the naked eye, that fluoride coat would be invisible, and therefore, halachically, in general, halacha is not so concerned with things that are invisible. Like when we talk about bugs, when we talk about other kinds of isur, when we talk about dots on estrogen, they could be small, but if they're not visible to the naked eye, that's not considered halachically significant. Sometimes, poskim in different areas of halacha might have to look at something with a magnifying glass. Sometimes look at a strogium with the top of the lulavim with magnifying glass, and other areas of halacha as well. But that's only when you see something there. You know it's there. You just can't see exactly what it is. So then you use what they call in diamonds a loop, or they use a little magnifying glass to see what it is that they're looking at better. But if they can't see it at all, except with the help of a magnifying glass, that's halachically not significant. Torah was given to humans with our eyesight, maybe not my eyesight, that glass, but, you know, 20/20 eyesight. And therefore, if you can't see a sodium fluoride shield on teeth, that can't be what the Torah is saying, that you can't smooth out. Therefore, what Rav Ovadia Yosef writes is that We can't really be, so based on the story I told you, by the way, this is what Rosh Hashanah shared with me last week, the Soloveitchik clearly holds, not like, so let's back up, Ramosha Feinstein says that there is a problem of memachek, of smoothing out, just like there's smoothing of an ointment that's aser, so too there's smoothing of an ointment on your teeth. Toothpaste is aser, according to Ramosha Feinstein. For Soloveitchik, in the conversation I just shared with you, that I heard from Schechter, who was there, that was 40 years ago, he told me this whole conversation. Obviously, Rav Schechter, who follows his Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, and Rav Soloveitchik Rebbe, holds that toothpaste does not have a problem of shmearing an ointment, because the whole problem would be, you can't say the problem is sanding down the teeth, because that's obviously, it doesn't make sense. What's the other process that you're putting on a smooth application? That's not the curious, because you don't want any, again, barring any invisible sodium fluoride, you know, shields, barring all the invisible stuff, you don't want a smooth application of green on your teeth when you're done. You want to get rid of it. And according to that same logic, Rav Avadia Yosef says, if the whole point of brushing your teeth is to spit it out afterwards, to spit out the toothpaste, that cannot be what the goal of memareach, the goal of smoothing something out. Smoothing something is when you want it there, you just want it there in a smooth consistency. And since your whole goal is to spit it out and get rid of it, that cannot be memareach, and therefore, even though Rav Moshe Feinstein said that smoothing toothpaste is a problem, Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Avadia Yosef do permit toothpaste. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, we're not going to get halacha l'maaseh for another half hour, but at least if we pause here, at least as far as the toothpaste issue, the smoothing out toothpaste on your teeth issue, that specific issue, if you're Sephardi and you go to Rav Avadia, mutter. If you're a Wa eunuch and you're a real Rav Soloveitchik fan or Shakta fan, mutter. If you're like the rest of the Ashkenazi world, Rav Moshe Feinstein will say no. Yes, Levi, another question.
I was going to say, I don't know if it matters that you don't want it there, but plaque, let's say on your teeth, you do want to get rid of it, and you are scrubbing it to get it off.
Right. So you're suggesting that just like we scrape away the hairs from the hide, just like we scrape away the abrasive surface of that seating, you know, that seating area that you want to smooth out, you're saying you also want to scrape away the plaque from the surface of the enamel. And you're saying maybe that would be, so that, by the way, has nothing to do with toothpaste. You're coming to be machmir and saying the act of brushing itself is going to be...
Toothpaste is an abrasive also.
Oh, wow, this is getting really deep. So, says Leva, our almost dentist, toothpaste is an abrasive and helps you. It's sort of like a gargantum, right? We talked about gargantum 2 weeks ago. That is a certain abrasive tartar, cream of tartar, something phosphate, bitartate phosphate. Is that what they talked about 2 weeks ago? Who is it?
Cream of tartar.
No.
Cream
okay.
of tartar.
Cream of tartar, and what was it? CH4K oh something, 5-6. So we saw that there was some kind of abrasive, I don't know if it was abrasive or a chemical reaction that took off the coating of the rust on the silver. That was Machik, you're saying that maybe toothpaste is an abrasive formula and that should scratch off the plaque buildup and constitute the machik. So Liba is Machmir, Ravad Yosef and Rashad and Salvation and Mekel, go take your pick. Okay, now it's Liba and Moshe Feinstein. I hear what you're saying. It's a good point. One thing to think about is there a machik if you're scraping X off Y or only if you're scraping X down? Meaning the cases that we have in the Torah, in the Av of the Malacha, that I have a hide, there's something attached to the hide, I'm scraping off the surface of the hide where the hairs are. When I'm scraping down the seating surface, I'm sanding the abrasive surface of that material. You're talking about, I have a teeth, an enamel, the enamel of a tooth, and on top of that you have plaque, I'm rubbing off the plaque, it's sort of like doing the dishes. Right, no one's going to say you can't do the dishes. So I'm just wondering if that would constitute a machik. Because maybe machik is only rubbing into the surface of something has an abrasive surface, a bumpy surface, and you're smoothing that out. And I don't know if that would be the same as plaque. Maybe plaque is this X on top of Y. You're taking X off and just leaving yourself with the clean enamel. I'm not sure if that would constitute a machik. That's a good question, and we have to think about that. Okay. That's what I have to tell you about toothpaste specifically, as far as smoothing toothpaste. But there are other issues to discuss. Let's talk about toothpaste, a different issue. What about something that came up in discussion last week when we talked about using those liquid soap dispensers that they have in the bathrooms of the Glock Beis Medrash building? And we talked about the issue last week that if it comes out as a foam and you sort of change it into a lather, a liquid, would that constitute nola, molid? So here we have to just familiarize ourselves a tiny bit with a concept or a term or two. There's an Isser Drabanan called Nolad. There's an Isser Drabanan called Molid. These are two separate and distinct halachas. Let me explain. Nolad is a halacha in Hilchos Muktzah. Everybody agrees that it exists. Everybody agrees that it is Muktzah. Let me tell you what Nolad is. If you have something that never existed before and came into existence on Shabbos, that is Nolad, and therefore it's Muktzah because it wasn't here when Shabbos came in. I'll give you two examples. One that's not so common, unless you're from Columbus, Ohio, or something crazy like that, where they have chickens in their backyards. Anyone here from Columbus? Rina, where are you from? Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Or Seattle, for example, right? I remember somewhere out past past Philadelphia. So you have chickens in your backyard, and they give birth on Shabbos. So what happens if they lay an egg on Shabbos, so that egg would be nolad. It was born on Shabbos. So without going into details, that would be something that was born on Shabbos. It wasn't here before, now it is. That might be a case of nolad, sort of, maybe. I'll give you a very common example. The water that falls from your air conditioner. Where was that before Shabbos? In the air. And where is it now? In the bucket. That bucket is Muktzah. So that means, let's say you installed an air conditioner, let's say it's a really hot Friday and you got your air conditioner right after work on your way home and you're super put it in at 6 o'clock on Friday afternoon in the middle of June and you turned it on for the first time on Friday evening right before Shabbos, and if you know how to set up window air conditioners, you're supposed to tilt them so that they tilt a little bit over so that they drip outside the window. If you tilt in the wrong direction, they will drip into your living room or dining room or bedroom. So let's say you didn't get the tilt right. Your super didn't get the tilt right. So where is that water going to be dripping? Inside your living room. So I have a great idea. Put a bucket there, right? And then what happens when it fills up? You leave it there. Because that's nolad. Okay? That's a halacha that everybody agrees to. It's what it never existed, right? Before Shabbos was just in the air. Now it turned into water. It's a new material. That's nolad. Now, by the way, let's not think. Rain, the Gemara says explicitly, is not nolad. Rain is not nolad. The Gemara says that rain and snow, it was in the clouds before Shabbos. Now it's just not in the cloud. It's over here. But the rain was up there. Now it's over here. That's just a different place. You're allowed to move things. You can take a cup of water and move it from up here in the sky, and now I'm going to put it on the ground. That's what happens when it rains. That's different from what we were saying about the moisture, the condensation from the just stuff in air going into my bucket because there was no cloud. Rain or snow that was in a cloud that's now on the ground is permitted. Therefore, you can drink rainwater. You can move rainwater on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. You can eat snow unless it's yellow, as my children's kindergarten teachers used to very clearly instruct my kindergarten children. Do not eat yellow snow in New York City. We will not discuss why. Fine. So that's what Nolad is. Then there's something else. Then there's something called Molid. Molid means doing an activity to change its form. An example of that would be taking ice and not just scraping it. The Merino ice says you scrape it so you could get the ices into your mouth. I'm talking about banging it for the express purpose of changing that into a liquid. What the Mishnah calls miraskin et habarad, ein miraskin et habarad b'shabbos. You're not allowed to bang it to make it turn into a liquid. That's subject to discussion about, are you allowed to, is there such an issur d'rabbanan to do this kind of act of making new forms on Shabbos? And that's a machlokas. And therefore the question that we are going to discuss is there an issue to take toothpaste, which is in this, what would we call it? Is it a solid? Is it a liquid? So what is it?
A gel.
A gel. mean, what?
A colloid.
A colloid. Thank you. What's a colloid? What's a colloid? A semi-solid with some suspensions in it. Thank you. That's exactly what I thought it was. So here, the question is, changing this colloid gel toothpaste, there are different kinds of toothpaste, right? There's a Colgate, there's AIM, there are different consistencies. Some like the more wax, the more like a pasty, whitish, chalky type. That's like AIM. AIM has like three different colors, right? The three colors. Everyone knows the AIM, three colors go together. No? What? Aquafresh, thank you. There's like the whitish, pasty part, and then there's like the more gel, like bluish part. Then there's red. I don't know what the deal with the red is. It looks cool, though. It's the patriotic toothpaste. So Rav Adya says that this issue of changing forms, the Rambam is not concerned with that issue, doesn't consider that an issue. And the Shulchan Aruch, who often usually follows the Rambam, is also not concerned with this issue. And therefore, Sephardim, all of what you Sephardim, don't have to be concerned with changing the form of the toothpaste on Shabbos. However, he points out that there are other Rishonim that say that there is an issue of changing form of something, of making a solid and turning it forcibly into a liquid, and the like. And therefore, perhaps, Rambam might be machmir for that, and therefore, us Ashkenazim should potentially be concerned that I'm changing the form of a solid to a liquid on Shabbos. Now, apparently, Rav Soloveitchik didn't think that that was a problem, and Shatzer doesn't think that's a problem, but Rav Adya seems to say, if I remember correctly, I didn't read this carefully, but I think Rav Adya says that Ashkenazim should be concerned about toothpaste as far as, again, there's no memareach, says Rav Adya, there's no smoothing, because your aim is to spit it out. You don't want a smooth, equal, even application. You want to get rid of it. But as you did it, as you brushed your teeth with that colloid, or that semi-solid, or whatever you want to call it, that gel, you're changing it from semi-solid to real liquid, to that pure liquid form, and that might be an Isser Drabana, might be, that Ashkenazim might be machmir for, and that would be a concern of Molid. Others take issue with that and say, come on, it's only a colloid. They don't use that word, but that's what they mean. Reb Chaim Noah. Who is Reb Chaim Noah? Anyone know who Reb Chaim Noah is? Anyone know who Reb Chaim Noah is? Okay, let's back up. Did you ever hear of like the Chazanish Shiurim? Like, oh, that's the Shiur of the Chazanish. Like on Pesach, you have to drink like 12 like gallons of wine for each cup. Like, that's the Chazanish Shiur. You've heard of that? Right? You heard like you have to like 17 hand matzahs for like the Afikoman, right? You've heard of that? That's Chazanishir. So are you makar for the Chazanishir? Then who do you follow? Reb Chaim Noah. So Reb Chaim Noah is the guy who's not the Chazanishir. So we like him when it comes to Pesach. So apparently Reb Chaim Noah also assumes that toothpaste, I guess, and again, Reb Chaim Noah did not live so long ago. He lived in Eretz Yisrael, I think in the early 1900s, so we have to ask our resident dentist to do some research about the colloidness, the state of, you know, to the extent of the, what are the physical properties of toothpaste in the early 1900s that Reb Chaim Noah is referring to? How hasty or viscous were they? But Reb Chaim Noah says at that time, in, you know, again, in the early 1900s, that toothpaste is too liquidy to be considered moldy. You're not taking a solid and turning it into a liquid. You know, if you have a chunk of ice, which is solid, and you chop to make it liquid, that's okay, that's changing its form entirely. But if you're going to be taking toothpaste, which is not real solid, that, Reb Chaim Noah says, is not a problem. So that's just another opinion to throw into the hopper as far as saying that molid, or changing the form of the toothpaste, will not be a concern. Yes, question.
Sorry, why wouldn't that be a concern for soap? Because soap is too liquidy? And the bubbles don't last?
I think soap is much more liquidy than... Yeah, I think we'd all agree that even soft, even viscous soft soap is less viscous than...
So even though it's turning from a liquid to a bubble, it's not...
You're saying lathering.
Yeah.
So I, this is something that is my own thoughts. I'm not saying I saw this somewhere. I don't think that when you lather up a liquid, it's changing from a liquid to a gas. That's not what happens. You just get air trapped inside the... You're saying that's what the air cell can do, and that's all the machlokes. Okay, I hear your point. Something to think about. Yeah.
What about that oil that congeals? Isn't that the same idea? What if you rub that down and turn that into, you know, the liquid form again? Is that allowed in Shabbos?
Oil that congeals, meaning on the bottom of, when it's very cold, my cheapy, the olive oil that I get for my salad, that's usually expensive. But the cheap olive oil that I buy from my menorah, when it gets really cold, it congeals. Is that what you're asking about? And you're asking if I take that oil,
try
to rub it on my
skin? Up the barrel with.
Sorry?
The one that you could...
That you plug up the barrel with. So there we pass that that is usher because you might come to rub the barrel, which sounds like anything, if it would just be rubbing into your skin, or that would be what... What's your question on
right,
that?
Right, but I'm saying, like, if you rubbed it back into being, like, you warmed it up, you rubbed it down to become the liquid again, as opposed to a solid. Anyone discussed it?
I think we're assuming that it is liquid. We're assuming that it's liquid. That's why it's more mutter than wax. Because wax would be more solid.
No, but I'm saying, like, it's the same consistency probably as toothpaste. The congealed form of oil is probably a similar consistency of toothpaste.
I don't know them discussing... Oh, yeah, they do discuss this explicitly. Yeah, they talk about exactly your situation. What's the halacha with warming up in a permitted way, whatever permitted way to warm up, which you could listen to my shiur on warming up food on Shabbos from Two years ago, we talked, there's a shiur titled How to Warm Up Your Food on Shabbos, an important shiur to listen to. So... There, we learn that there are certain permitted ways to warm up food. Let's just say, for argument's sake, I'm going to put my food on top of the chalent, okay? I have a chalent cooking, I'm going to put my food on top of the chalent and warm it up. But let's say I have fat, congealed fat. That's exactly what you're talking about, right? I have congealed fat, and I'm going to warm it up. It's not going to get hot. But what is going to happen? I'm actively turning a fat, solid state of matter by... setting up, I'm putting it in a place where it's going to turn into a liquid. So that, the poskim do say that it's a problem. They do say that's a problem. If you make it hot, that's a totally different issue. That's a visual issue. Beside the visual issue, it might be a molar problem of making, changing the state of putting that fatty solid in heat to make it...
So taking it out of the refrigerator and leaving it out could be a problem?
No, I don't think taking it out and leaving it out of the refrigerator would be a problem because there you're not doing it actively. So we can't blame you. It's just happened naturally.
Like
but to put it on top of a heat source, I think that would be an active way of changing something. Okay, let's go to the next issue as far as toothpaste. And this is something you might never have thought of. So Ravadia quotes somebody who I never heard of, unless this is Rabbi Zweig from Florida, Moshe Yonah Halevi Zweig. I don't know Rabbi Zweig. No, it's Rabbi Yochanan Zweig, the one from Florida, right? Right, I think it's Rabbi Yochanan Zweig. So there's a Rabbi Moshe Yonah Halevi Zweig, who has a sefer, who suggests the following problem. Listen to what he says. He says that he found the Tosefta. Tosefta says that you're not supposed to drip a dry potion or medicine onto your teeth when you want to make them feel better. So I'm not sure what kind of tooth medicine they had 2,000 years ago when the Tosefta was written, in the time of the Mishnayos, but what he does suggest is, we all know that when we buy toothpaste, we make sure that it has a little seal on the back that says approved by the... What?
ADA.
ADA, the American Dental Association. And it says approved by professionals, and has a statement, Colgate has proved to be of some... How's it go? An effective dentrifice. Something like that. The word dentrifice is there. You'll check when you go brush your teeth tonight. So it's made under scientific/medical/dental supervision. and it's done in laboratories, and the point is to make healthy teeth, and therefore this should be a problem of refuah. This should be a problem of refuah. You can't take medicine unless you're in a lot of pain. If you have a migraine, you're allowed to take medicine. If you have a little, nothing real headache, you shouldn't be taking medicine on Shabbos. So if you are brushing your teeth, if you have your teeth are in terrible, terrible pain, and you want to put on some kind of, you know, paint, you want to take an Advil because you just can't get out of bed because it's terrible toothache, mutter. But to brush your teeth when you're not in that kind of pain, shouldn't that be a problem of refuah? So there, once again, Dr. Lieber comes and tells us that this is not, this is what?
It's preventative.
It's preventative. That's what Rav Avadia says. Of course, the halacha is, this is a halachic issue. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. Because toothpaste is not used as a refuah, it's used as a lehagain. Lehagain in Hebrew is a shield, a protector, preventative. And therefore, it's nothing to do with the Tosefta's discussion, which was a person who had tooth pain and they would put some kind of medicine or herb, I don't know, they put on their teeth to take away the pain. That has nothing to do with what we do, because the people who use toothpaste are usually healthy people, and therefore we do not have to be concerned with any refuah issues when it comes to toothpaste. So we don't have a refuah issue either. Fine, so we finished three different issues of toothpaste alone. We marav, molid, and now refuah. Yes?
What about Sensodyne toothpaste?
Excellent question. What about Sensodyne toothpaste that's for sensitive teeth, for those people who, if they brush it, the abrasiveness, is it the abrasiveness of regular toothpaste, or is it the...
I think there's something in it that sensitive.
Okay, so sensitive teeth. So that's a great question. I don't remember seeing it discussed, but let's think it out quickly. Right now, the person has sensitive teeth. Is he in pain? Or is she in pain?
I don't think so.
I assume it's just when somebody has sensitive teeth, when the teeth will be brushed with the abrasive or the strength of regular toothpaste, they will be uncomfortable. That means, but before they put the toothpaste into their mouth, they were not in pain. They were healthy people. So I don't think it would be called a refuah. If they have a toothache right now, they're applying something to their teeth, that's a different issue, that would be refuah. That's everything. But I'm not going to put my money on it. What?
Yeah, we have a problem. Toothpaste isn't going to help you.
Right. Exactly. That just shows that toothpaste is not a medicine, because toothpaste will not heal your pain. Next issue. The next issue, and I get to see it very close up, because Baruch Hashem, I get to brush 4 or 5 little mouths every night, which is cute once in a while. But it's absolutely misery if you have to do it every night, especially on the nights that you have to. By the way, you should know something funny. I never dental floss my children on Monday nights, in your honor. Because to dental floss them, besides brushing them, is like an extra 3 minutes a kid, or more, depends on how much they're jumping around. And times a few kids, I just don't have that time on Monday nights. So you should just know. I identify with them purposely on Sunday nights, because I know that Monday nights I'm not going to have time. So I do brush their teeth on Monday nights, but I don't dental floss on Monday night. Except tonight, when my son said he needs to want dental floss on, but other than that, I don't. So I have found that when you dental floss, maybe if you do it every night, you don't have this problem. When you dental floss, once in a while, gums bleed. Some people, when you brush their teeth, gums bleed. I know that's true, because some of my kids, if you brush them once in a while, their gums will bleed. So, is there a problem, an independent problem with toothbrushing? Again, we're off toothpaste. We're talking about a plain toothbrush. Is there going to be a problem of chavala, of causing a wound on Shabbos? So, let's say I don't dental floss every night. I apologize. I should. I know I should. I really ought. But Lamaisa, I'm busy preparing my night shifts. So I never have time to dental floss on, Sunday nights. Maybe tonight after shift, I'll have time to dental floss. Let's say I dental floss 2-3 times a week. So what happens when you dental floss not regularly, like religiously? Then you bleed. Well, if you do something, what's my goal in dental flossing? Am I out to make myself bleed? Of course not. When I'm masochistic, when I do it to my children, not sadistic. So we're not istics, and all different istics, but if something happens and you know it's going to happen, what is that called? I do action X, and malacha Y is caused, that's called psikration. Psikration is, I'll give you four options. Mutter, Asad Rabbanan, Asad Araisa, or Chayef Skila. Psikration, which, what's the halacha of psikration? A psikration on an Asad Araisa. Like opening the fridge on Shabbos. Opening the fridge on Shabbos, if you have an incandescent bulb, you open the fridge and oops, the light went on. Was that mutter? Was that asad rabbanan? Was that asad araisa? Was that chayef skila?
Is there a difference if it's light outside also? There's the loch pathway versus dinichai.
Inside the fridge is dark. So you all think that's asad rabbanan, which is what I thought you'd say, and that's not correct. Psik rashis are asad araisa. I'm not sure if you get skila for it, but psik rashis are asad araisa. And therefore, if I know that under normal circumstances, when I floss my teeth, every second or third day, every third day certainly, every fourth day, if you do it once a week, even more so, your gums are going to bleed, it will be asad araisa to floss. However, if it doesn't always happen whenever you floss, either you floss more often or you have strong gums, then it's not called a psikratia, it's called a something that you don't know if it's going to happen or not. You're not intended to do it. And even when it does happen, it doesn't always happen. What is that called? Does anyone know? It's called a davar she'eino miskaven. Technical term, we don't have to get into it right now. That is going to be mutter on Shabbos. So, brushing my teeth, what's the status? When I brush my teeth, if I always bleed when I brush my teeth, there's no question that it's going to be asur pasli d'oraisa, maybe not, but pasli d'oraisa brushing teeth on Shabbos, if you always bleed. If you don't always bleed, if you sometimes bleed, so since you're not aiming to do it, and even when it happens, it doesn't always happen, that will be mutter. So therefore, halakha ma'isa, for most people who brush their teeth occasionally, enough that when they brush their teeth, they don't bleed regularly, it will be mutter to brush your teeth as far as chavala. However, in Ravadi's beautiful language, Rak la'ela shelo hitraglu adayin b'mishchat shinai, those who have not yet accustomed themselves to brush their teeth consistently, and they know the first days that they get back into brushing their teeth, you know, let's say I broke my arm this summer. So let's say one of the hardest things was actually toothbrushing, that holding the wrist and that, you know, that motion was actually one of the hardest things for me after I broke my arm. Let's say, for example, I wasn't able to brush my teeth for a few weeks. When I got my, when I would get back to it, I would go brush my teeth. I know the first few times it will cause bleeding, so then there would be an iser, perhaps to araisa, maybe not to araisa, but it would definitely be iser to brush your teeth in such a circumstance. But under normal cases, since it doesn't happen regularly, even if it does happen once in a blue moon, it is mutter, as far as the longer phrase that there will not be an iser of chavala involved in wounding your body, of causing blood to be drawn, as far as brushing your teeth. Yes?
The fact that it's the lo nichalei is not enough.
Correct. Lo nichalei only knocks it down to be an issur d'rabbanan. It doesn't make it mutter. There's one opinion that says psikresh lo nichalei is mutter. We don't pass him like that. Shita b'arach. Okay. Let's finish off with a few more issues with toothbrushing, and we're going to stop with that. Then there's a point that we're not going to really spend time on, but we're not the most yeshivish around here. For better or for worse, it's just what it is. How do I know that? Because if you look in the code room in YU, it's not like the code room in other yeshivas that I've learned in. When I learned in both the Mir and in Lakewood, do you know what we had in our code room? A hat rack. In YU, there's no hat rack. There are coat hooks, there are hangers for your coats, there are no hat racks. That's because people don't wear hats. What else is there not in YU? There is not the... You see in the yeshivas, you know what they have attached to the hat racks with a wire or a
cigarette lighter.
It's aser in all the yeshivas that I've been to, it is aser to smoke in the building. That's funny though. No, any of your fathers have hats or brothers, and once in a while what do they do to their hat? A hat brush, yes. All these yeshivas attached to the hat racks on a wire or on a string is a hat brush gemach. Just a hat brush waiting there for people to brush their hats because they get dusty. If you leave something out, it just gets dusty, like anything else. So brushing, are you allowed to brush your clothing on Shabbos? Everybody seems to agree that you should not be brushing your clothing on Shabbos.
Depends on how attached it is. It's like I'll lose something and brush
it. Yeah, going like that, maybe not. But taking a brush and brushing your clothing, taking the lint with a brush, not just with but like literally brushing your clothing with a brush, everyone would agree that that's usher, which is correct. The halacha is that it's usher to get clean dirt off your clothing or dust with a brush. Well, if that's the case, let's just finish the sentence. And your teeth? How is that any different? If I'm brushing the dirt off my clothing with a brush, that's a problem. So why shouldn't it be a problem to brush the dirt off my plaque, give it a fancy name, off my teeth?
Your teeth is part of your body. Clothing.
The plaque is not part of my body.
If it's on top of a surface, it's part of your body.
Okay.
The difference. You can wash your hands off. No one says you can't.
So the halacha is that the reason why you're not, there's a whole discussion, there's a halacha why you're, one of the commentaries say that the Tiferes Yisrael, the Mishnah, says that the reason why you're not allowed to wipe the dirt or the dust off your clothing with a brush is because it's uvdin dechol. It's a weekday kind of thing. Now, what are the parameters of a weekday kind of thing? That's a different sugya. Based on that, it had been suggested that brushing the teeth might also be, again, using a brush to get stuff off, might be a weekday kind of thing. And therefore, there might be an issue of uvdan dechol. So that would be another argument to suggest why it would not be permitted to brush one's teeth, because it's a weekday, you're using a brush to get dirt off wherever that dirt is deposited. It happens with your tooth. And that might be a weekday kind of thing. So Rav Avadya says, come on, we have a concept of uvdan dechol. Yes, there does exist this halachic concept, not just, oh, is that Shabbos day? That could and sometimes be a very halachic, defined concept. But says Rav Avadya that that concept only applies to those specific areas where Chazal said, this is an uvdan dechol. This is what we call a non-Shabbos activity. And therefore, an issue. And therefore, he says we shouldn't make up things and say, just call them uvdan dechols if it's not a problem. But what would a solution be if we wanted to get around the, oh, this is not a Shabbos thicker way of doing it?
Shabbos
toothbrush, 100%. That would be a solution. If there is a problem with uvdan dechol, it's not, I'm not comfortable saying the word, oh, it's not Shabbos thicker to brush your teeth. But if we say there's a halakhic stricture called uvdan dechol, perhaps if we have a Shabbos toothbrush, that would not be a problem. The uvdan dechol. Let's finish off with schita. What about schita? I have the bristles of my toothbrush, and if I put it under the water in the sink, under the tap, and then I brush my teeth, I'm squeezing out the water from the bristles, and I don't know what we'll see what Leva has to say, but my mother always told me, and let me rephrase that. When I told my mother how many cavities my daughter had, she asked me, do you use a lot of water when you brush your teeth? Because I guess part of the brushing, my mother told me, is not just rubbing the toothbrush against the tooth, but it's getting the water to rinse out the...
Yeah, it's such a thing.
No? Okay. In the first year of dental school, they didn't teach that to leave. Maybe it's the second year when you... Okay. Fine. Don't know. So that we have to find out. So is the when the water is squeezed out, is that going to be schita? So for this, we have to look at a Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos. And there, it sounds funny, but let's hear what it says. It says that you're allowed to help a woman give birth on Shabbos, and you're allowed to call
a midwife.
You're allowed to call a midwife to travel and do malacha, and you're allowed to be mechallel Shabbos. You can ask, wait a second, you just said you're allowed to do everything. Why do you have to say you're allowed to be mechallel Shabbos? It says that you're allowed to do whatever you need to do, and you're allowed to call the midwife, so why do you have to also add, and you're allowed to be mechallel Shabbos? You just told me things that you were mechallel Shabbos for. The Gemara says, to tell me an additional case that you're allowed to do, listen to this, that you're allowed to carry oil. If you need oil to deliver the baby, you're allowed to carry the oil if there's no Erev. And if the buckets that you have or your hands can't carry enough oil, you could even soak it up with your hair and squeeze it out. You know, transport the oil in your hair. Interesting image, huh? Okay, so you sort of picture somebody dipping her long, long hair into like the pot of oil, running quickly, holding her hair in a bun, then getting whatever she needs to do, like wringing it out on Shabbos to save whatever they need to fight. Okay, says, asks the Gemara, wait a second. That has nothing to do with, you know, why are you talking about carrying the oil from here to there? Forget carrying. There's a separate issue of schita. Answers the Gemara with three powerful words. Ein schita v'seyar. Schita doesn't apply to hair. Schita is when you have a fabric, a unified piece of fabric, and from that fabric, which whatever little air spaces or little room there is for liquids to penetrate, you squeeze it out of that. But between the different hair strands, the liquid that's caught between the hairs, that does not qualify as schita. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Chaf Ches, Amud Beis, 128b. However, it could be... Now, let's just understand, why does hair not have schita? Rashi says, because hair is hard, and it doesn't absorb. Schita is when you take something that's absorbed, and you get it out of the area or the sponge in which it was absorbed, the fabric in which it was absorbed. When you have hairs or bristles, nothing got absorbed... Yes, liquid got trapped between the bristles. Liquid got trapped in the strands of hair. But nothing was absorbed that then gets expelled, and therefore Rashi says there's no schita in hair. However, the Rishonim still question, does that just mean there's no melacha doraisa of schita? Maybe there's still an issur d'rabbanan of schita when it comes to hair. And therefore, since there is a machlokas, Rav Avadya says that we might have to be concerned, perhaps, of schita when it comes to hair, and therefore toothbrushes, those strands, those nylon strands, those bristles, are exactly like hair. There might be a shayla. He says anyway you could be makel, because what am I doing when I'm brushing my teeth? I'm trying to squeeze stuff out. I'm doing an act of going ahead and squeezing it. He gives various complicated halakhic rationale why there wouldn't be actually a concern for schita. And therefore, he's not worried about schita. Before we come to halakha l'maisa, I want to share with you a great review. We'll review what we did tonight. I took a screenshot of this. I'm sorry it didn't come out with the picture. But artscroll.com, you can go to artscroll.com, and for only $5.99, you could buy a Shabbos toothbrush for fresh breath and clean teeth on Shabbos and Yom Tov. List price $5.99, status available. Product description, for use on Shabbos and Yom Tov when used with Shabbos toothwash, otherwise known as liquid toothpaste. Let me read it to you. Let me read it. Why is there a special toothbrush and toothwash for Shabbos? Oh, color may vary. But if you order multiple items, they'll give you different colors, so you're not going to have to figure out which red toothbrush is yours and your five roommates. Like, they'll send them. Okay. There are four, it says, again, rscroll.com, there are four main categories of prohibited melacha related to brushing teeth on Shabbos with a regular toothbrush and regular toothpaste. These issues vary for individual communities and Katori Poskin, right? While you people are different from Sephardim and everyone else is different from the rest of the yeshiva world. Now, thanks to the new Shabbos toothbrush, and especially formulated Shabbos toothbrush, these melachas are avoided, allowing you to brush your teeth on Shabbos according to all opinions. The melachas are schita, chavala, v'morech, and uvda d'chol. Schita, squeezing liquid out of a solid which was absorbed is prohibited on Shabbos. When you have wet, densely packed nylon bristles of a regular toothbrush are pressed against the teeth, many posts consider it that the water is squeezed out. Therefore, the rubber bristles of the Shabbos toothbrush for $5.99 are separated far enough apart from one another that there's no water trapped between one strand and the other strand. Okay, next point. Chavala. Causing oneself to bleed on Shabbos is prohibited. The soft, rounded bristles, rubber bristles of the Shabbos toothbrush do not cause bleeding. Fine. In extremely rare cases that very sensitive gums bleed, even with a Shabbos toothbrush, consult your local rabbi and see your dentist. Finally, Mimareya. Spray a cream of ointment onto an object used as an applicator to the body is prohibited on Shabbos. Therefore, most posts can prohibit the use of regular toothpaste or gel applied to any toothbrush. Shabbos toothwash. Kosher Innovations Shabbos toothwash is a concentrated liquid and does not, okay? Any liquid. Rinse is the same thing. Uvdun d'chol. Oh, they know what they're talking about. They know what they're talking about. Uvdun d'chol. Okay, we're not going to get into what an uvdun d'chol means, but for some posts, we would permit the use of regular toothbrush, whatever. If you use a toothbrush special for Shabbos, then it's not uvdun d'chol. So for $5.99, you could solve all the world's problems. But to summarize, halacha is like this. Rev Avadi Yosef, for all the Sfarim among you, says the toothpaste is fine. He says that basically all the issues that we discussed are pretty basically fine, except Uvdan Dechol. He is actually concerned that just like there's brushing a hat and brushing clothing is a problem, brushing the teeth should also be a problem of Uvdan Dechol. But if you have a separate toothbrush for Shabbos, presumably that should be solved. Rav Soloveitchik, as we mentioned, permits, as Rav Schechter reported from the shiur that I shared with you, permits toothbrush and toothpaste, even if they're wet. And that is what those who follow Rav Schechter of Salvation to the T. The Igros Moshe, which I assume is the typical American, you know, sort of Torah community, Mahalath, is that one is permitted to brush their teeth on Shabbos without toothpaste, because Rav Moshe said that there is a concern of Mimareach, even though we don't really understand clearly why. Additionally, Rav Moshe says that there is a concern for Shechita, and therefore Rav Moshe finds, and this is what I do, and what I teach my kids to do, my kids know this very clearly, that on Shabbos we brush with a dry toothpaste. Is it a little bit uncomfortable? You get used to it. It is a little uncomfortable, we get used to it. So therefore Moshe Feinstein says that you can brush your teeth on Shabbos, again, assuming it doesn't bleed regularly, which I don't think it does, you could brush on some consistent level. Dry toothbrush without coated toothpaste, and that is going to be permitted. Toothpaste is aser, and a wet toothbrush is also aser, and therefore Moshe has that chumrah. Now, Rav Moshe adds one more point. Let's say you finish brushing your teeth. Well, do you brush just at night or in the morning also? If you brush at night, at night you brush your teeth. After you finish brushing your teeth, what are you going to do? Usually we wash off the toothbrush. So Rav Moshe says, if it's to use the next, he doesn't say this. If you're not going to use it again that day, why are you ultimately washing off that toothbrush? To prepare for Sunday? That's a chana. So therefore, if it's the last time that you use this toothbrush on Shabbos, you should not be able to wash off that toothbrush. I usually brush my teeth in the morning, and I usually brush my teeth again after lunch. So I wash it off Friday night, and I wash it off again in the morning. But Rav Moshe says that Rav Moshe clearly indicates that if it's not going to be used again on Shabbos, it would be hachana for using it after Shabbos. And I will take any questions after we finish. So thank you so much for coming. So halacha ma'aseh, I hope I made it clear. There's a svardim, everything is mutter.